I want to welcome you here this morning. We're continuing our sermon series on snapshots. We're looking at different Bible characters, and although we may not go through every detail of each of their lives, we just kind of highlight, briefly go over, and then pull some truths out of that for you to take home and chew on it for a little while, see what you can get out of it. I don't know about you, but I find that I need purpose. I need purpose when I wake up in the morning. I need purpose when I go to bed to think about what I'm going to do the next day. I need purpose in pretty much everything I do. I don't like doing something without a reason. I need to know why. I need a purpose. And we've talked about how you don't always have to ask the why questions, but I at least would like a purpose. Maybe I don't know exactly how it fits, but I want to know the greater purpose. So I don't need minute details, but I need a big picture. And that's how I focus on most of my life. That's how I've been. And I think it is for everyone. Right now, it's graduation time. Lots of people are graduating from high school. Lots of people are graduating from university or college or in some type of other type of diploma, certificate, whatever. But they're graduating and they're moving on because they found something that they can have purpose in and they can go do. And that's the big picture. Because I tell you right now, when you're going through your high school, it's hard to figure out how law is really going to work. When you take the course law, it's hard to really go, is there a purpose in this other than maybe it's an easy elective? I took two blocks of mechanics in my final year of grade 12 because I'm like, what can I do that will just not stress me out? And I'm like, let's work on cars. So I did two blocks of that. But because I already knew what I was doing, I had my purpose and I didn't need all these other classes for what I wanted to do and what God was telling me I needed to do. And so I went and took mechanics. It was a lot harder than I thought going into it, but it was really enjoyable, and I loved it. And to this day, that's why Michelle says, well, Mark will fix it. No, Mark won't fix it. Mark doesn't like to fix it. Mark gets frustrated. I'm talking in third person here. Mark doesn't like it. So I find that we all need purpose, and you'll notice that those coming out of high school and those coming out of university, everyone's trying to find a purpose. They're trying to find out, what am I supposed to do? And I've seen that with all the different social media apps and all the different, you know, with Facebook and Instagrams and the Twitters and the Snapchats and the good grief, there's so many. I can't even Pinterest. I don't even know what that does. All I know is that it listens to me because every time I've said something, all of a sudden I get all these ads talking about what I talked about like a day ago. So I don't know what you want to do about that. It's not the Lord speaking to us. Somebody else is listening. So, but there's all these apps. And there's all these ways to be connected and to find purpose, but there's so many options. I don't know if you've looked at a university pamphlet catalog. There's a lot of choices in there. I don't know how young people do it with all the choices. Now, we had all those choices back in the day. We just didn't know. We just didn't know. We didn't know they existed. There's just so many. Nowadays, kids look up online, they see things, and then boom, they've got all this influxuation of stuff and data and information on what they could do. It almost freezes them. I don't know if you've noticed that, but they go, I don't even know what to do. There's too many choices. Before, that's all we ever wanted. We need choices. And so that's why fast food has come in. That's why all these, because they get all these different choices. That's why we, you know, you're like, what? There's not a Starbucks on this block? There's like four just behind it. Why isn't there another one here? We love choices. We love options. But yet, in the end, have you ever walked into a Starbucks, Tim Hortons, or any place? You know what they sell. You know the menu. You walk in, or you've been behind this person, and you walk up, and they go, I just don't know. Do I want a caramel macchiato with soy, extra hot, 180 degrees? Or do I just want a drip coffee? Maybe I'll just have an espresso. And you're sitting there going, look, there's not a lot of, you know, time here. It's supposed to be fast. And then the girl behind the counter is, well, you know, you can do all sorts of things. And then they start, and they have a manual. Starbucks has a manual of the choices. So there's a lot of choices. We can't make up our minds half the time. I've done it. Have you ever asked your spouse or significant other, where do you want to go for lunch? What would you like for dinner? I always tell Michelle, whatever you put in front of me, I'll eat. If you're cooking, whatever it is, I'm in. And then she goes, oh, really? And then she knows there's certain things I don't like, so she starts there. She starts there. No, I don't want that. Well, I thought you said you didn't know what you want. I know I don't want that. Just happened actually yesterday. What do you want to do for dinner? I said, I don't know. My brain hurts. You choose. Too many choices. What do you want? Mexican? Italian? What, do you want McDonald's? What do you want? It's too many choices. And then once you narrow it down to that, so let's say you choose Mexican. What do you want? A burrito? A taco? There's too many choices, people. And this generation is coming out of it, and we face it too, and we need purpose in all of that. And how do we sift through all those decisions and all those choices? And it doesn't matter how old you are, there's still a lot of choices. And so we want purpose in the bigger picture. And so I want to read this scripture to you about John the Baptist, just briefly explain this first part, and then get into some stuff about purpose. And it's Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." Now, John's clothes were made of camel's hair. That must have been pretty itchy, I guess. And he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and honey. Fair enough. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all of Judea and the whole region of Jordan, confessing their sins, so they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. So I just want to say, because a lot of people think that John the Baptist was this gentleman that, you know, lived in the desert, ate locusts and wild honey, and wore weird clothes, and was just a strange dude. The answer is, yeah, he was. He was a weird dude. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt. If somebody came up here on the platform wearing camel's hair, a leather belt, and you know, had locust legs in their teeth, you would be, I'm a little concerned. I'm a little concerned about the status of this person, of where they're at. But he was this guy. And a lot of people would come to hear him. He was actually quite well known. He wasn't just this recluse. He was well known in the area. People knew of him, spoke of him. He had disciples, people who followed him. And everything he did was pointing to someone else. And so when we look at these characters in some of these snapshots that we've been looking at, I find that they are either strange or, you know, semi-normal, or going through some struggles at the same time that God is talking to them. So in other words, it's just like you and me, really. I haven't seen any of you eating locusts, so that's good. I don't know if we have a lot of that here for options, but, you know, we're not all normal, right? And that's good. That's a good thing because you know, looking at John, you don't have to be. And so John the Baptist's ministry, if you look at it from the scriptures, if you look at it from reading his story, and you can get some outside biblical references to him as well, he doesn't really seem all that successful if you were to look at him with a measuring stick of what a successful person would be. He lived in seclusion in the desert, preached for a short period of time. Jesus comes in, kind of takes the show over, and then John ends up in prison because of some stuff, has some little bit of spiritual issues there as well. And then what happens? He gets beheaded. So that's fun. So his ministry looks a little odd, very similar to how he was. And so John was very popular, and you'll see that because it says it in verse 5 here. It says, people went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of Jordan. So this is not a small little area. This is a large area of people that knew him. And so being as odd as John the Baptist was, he was actually played a major role in what was happening in the plan that God had for us, for the world, and for the story of salvation, of saving us from, well, really ourselves. And by earthly standards, his success may not have been interpreted as all that impressive. His story illustrates how rewarding and how impactful anyone can be if they're faithful, to God. And so we look at thinking that serving God, oh, if I choose to serve God, it's going to be easy. It's going to be a breeze. It's going to be a piece of cake. Well, I think we can tell from most of these stories, it wasn't easy. Most of the stories that we've looked at over the past month and a half have not been easy. We read them in the Bible, we read them in Scripture, and they're like, oh, they did this, they had trouble here, they did that, hey, everything's happy. No, that's not how it actually went down, right? It went down the way they said it, but there's other stuff in between, the struggles, the heartaches, the problems, the issues. They don't talk about the daily and nightly stuff in most of the stories of these characters. And so we kind of have a missing part in there, but we get the idea of what was going on. But when we're obedient to what God has asked us to do, we can also, like John the Baptist, have a part, and all these other characters, have a part in God's plan for this world and for salvation. And so our purpose in life shouldn't be about trying to generate popularity. We shouldn't be worried about who's coming and who knows us and how many people follow us on Instagram and Snapchat and whatever else there is. We shouldn't be worried about those types of things, or we shouldn't be worried about how many people think we're great. It's not about getting attention for us, and you know this, but it's about getting attention for Him. And it should be about giving God the glory, not us. We don't need the glory. It's for Him. And so we should be the ones that are always pointing to Him, to Him. You know, they make fun of football players and sports players and basketball. You know, hey, we the North, they're going to lose, by the way. And I don't know if you guys know that the Toronto Raptors are involved in a game. You guys know about this? It's kind of apparently a big deal for some of you. No, he's not here, but he'll hear about it. But you'll see these players, if they believe in God, they'll point up, and people kind of make fun of them. And they used to do this with Tim Tebow, because he would kneel beforehand, pray, and then go and play. And they'd be like, oh, that's ridiculous, and blah, blah, blah. Why would God care about, you know, the game he's playing? Well, God, here's the thing we miss. We think that they're actually praying about winning. Now, some of them maybe. Maybe they got this success mindset of nowadays where, oh, I got to win and Jesus will be glorified through it. But listening to some people like Tim Tebow, whether you like him or not, he's not praying about winning the game. He's praying about his character. He's praying about being an example on the field. There's a difference. So when he kneels and prays, it's not about being number one. It's about pointing to number one. It's about his reaction. So be careful we don't take what everybody does in sports and all that and goes, oh, that could be to Jesus about their character. And that's what we should be doing. Anytime anything happens, take it off of us. It's to you. It's to you, God. And so we want to be a part of that. And we shouldn't be trying to point fingers back at us saying, look how great I am. So we see that, like God called John for a specific purpose, John the Baptist, before his birth and before he could qualify himself for the task, God called him to spread the message of Jesus. And he calls us to spread the message of Jesus to the world. And when we don't feel capable to do the job, and when it's not popular, he still calls us. Even if those things are not there, even if it's not popular, even if it's difficult, even if we don't feel capable to do it. Today, I want to encourage you to not be afraid to follow God's calling in your life if he's called you to it. We're going to talk about in a minute about callings, because I think we don't understand what a calling of God on our lives mean, and I'm going to get to that. But God's going to provide a way for you no matter what. God's going to provide a way. It's up to you to choose whether or not you go through it. And it's up to you to also understand that it's not always popular. The call is not always popular, and it's not always easy. When I was called to the ministry, it was on my heart heavily. There was a million other things I could have done, a million other things I wanted to do. But God's calling was too strong for me to go and ignore it. And so I had to choose. And he gave me that choice. And there were a few times I kind of ran, a little bit like Jonah. No fish incident, but finally, when I focused on him, I was focusing on other things. I was worried about money. I was worried about many other things. When I finally said, God, I need to figure out what you really want me to do, because I'm not satisfied internally. Notice I didn't say I'm not happy. I said I'm not satisfied. This isn't enough. This isn't for me what I feel I'm supposed to do. Doesn't mean that what I was doing, someone couldn't have been called to do that and do it well where they were. But for me, I knew I was running from something God had asked me to do. And so when I knew it, and I said to God, okay, it happened. He's like, yep, now go do it. There was no pre-qualifiers. There was no whatever. He said, go this path, make it happen. And I did. I had to do it, though. I had to go. I had to follow his prompting. And although those times I knew I'd be losing money, although those times I knew I wouldn't be able to sometimes eat and provide for my family as best as I thought I should, God always provided. So there was no way that I could say it was me that provided. God did it. When boxes of groceries would come to my front door, and I never said anything, asked anyone, told anyone, it was at the right time, and it was anonymous. I have a pretty good idea who might have done it. And God just took care of it, because I was following what he wanted me to do. Doesn't mean he doesn't look after you if you've decided to go a different direction, but it does make a big difference when we choose to do what he's asked us to do. And so I did. And it wasn't popular with family. I didn't do this because my family was super supportive. I did because I knew I had to. And a lot of times in our own lives, we put more emphasis on performance than on God's sovereign hand, on what God wants us to do. We put on, well, how can I do this? How, instead of going, well, he's God, he's going to sort that out. And we often feel like our effectiveness comes from the inside first instead of the outside. So we think that in life, we wait for the outward to match the inward, but sometimes that doesn't happen. Sometimes there's doubt. Our insecurities get the best of us, and we self-sabotage things mentally, which in turn stops us from doing what God wants us to do, because we inside don't feel we can do it. So we're waiting for this external thing to happen that says, I'm able to do it. And we do that in relationships. We do it at work. And in our heads, we fail before we even try. We fail because, well, in our head, we can't do it. And so what are we doing? We're talking ourselves out of what God wants us to do. And we've all heard the saying, or maybe you haven't, but I'll let you know that, you know, they'll say, if God closes a door, he'll open a window, all those kind of things. Well, you know what? If you don't think you can even go through the door, how are you going to go through a window? How are you going to go through a window? I like that song we were talking about, how God, the song we sang earlier about God rescuing us. Have you ever been in a situation where you've had to rescue someone and felt the urgency? I have. I've been in cars that are flipped over upside down, gasoline leaking, demolished cars, trying to get people out. And I've climbed in with them in the chaos to rescue them while they're in panic mode. I've been in with young people. I've been in with older people. I've been in with every age you can imagine. And you know what? You know what they all have in common? Panic. Complete and utter panic. And I'm there to calm them down. Especially when I smell gasoline. And I'm like, hey guys, you gonna get us out of here real quick? Especially when a car is upside down in the water and the water's rising and I'm in there with them and they're stuck, they can't get out. And the water's rising. I'm like, yeah, it'd be good, guys. Let's get this car out as fast as possible. There's panic, utter panic in their eyes. And I relate that to the message of God. There are people out there that don't know why they're panicking. They don't know the water's rising. They don't know that they're trapped. but they feel it. And we're there to send a message saying, hey, guess what? There's something that's true. There's something that is real. There is someone who cares about you and loves you and wants to help you. And it's that calm voice. We can be that calm voice in people's lives that are going through those struggles. That is our job. But we talk ourselves out of it. The first time I had to go into a car that was in a precarious situation, there was a little concern myself. And then I realized, no, I'm here for a reason. And if this is where God takes me, then so be it, but I'm here for a reason. And that's how I feel about the ministry. I'm here for a reason. You are here for a reason. And I can't let my head stop me. The insecurities, the issues, I can't let it stop me. And you can't let it either. You must do what God has asked you to do. Because that internal battle will be at peace when you make the decision, that internal battle. I know from experience. It doesn't mean things will be smooth. It doesn't mean things are going to be a breeze or be easy. But it does mean that that internal battle that we're so concerned about will slowly release because you know you're there. Did you? I remember a professor of mine. She used to say, she'd get on a flight and she'd always get sat. She'd say, God, if I can be an example in ministry on this flight, please use me. She'd go on a flight, she'd said, and it was almost every time she sat beside somebody who hated flying, like paranoid, scared flying. And she would sit down with him and talk with him. She had a very calm voice. She still teaches at Trinity Western, and she had a very, very calm voice. And she would say, it's okay. In the end, she'd say, it's okay. I'm a missionary, and God has called me to do this, this, and this. This plane isn't going down. She was sure of her purpose. You need to be sure of your purpose. And that's where I want to get into the difference between a calling, a general calling, and a specific calling. How can you be faithful in what God has called you to do? Well, you need to know what it means to be called. You need to understand the difference between the two. And unlike the situation with John where he knew his calling, we don't always know what God has called us to do. And so there are two types of calling. There's general and there's specific. General calling is a calling that all Christians are commanded to do. That's why we push it here at Westwind so much. It's a command that we are to love God and who else? Yeah, others, right? Well, it's funny you guys mentioned that scripture, Matthew 22. Let's look at it. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? I didn't make this stuff up. This isn't me. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and your mind. And I have, yeah, there you go. There's different versions, but that's the one. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. That could be the conclusion, but it's not. There's a little bit more. Love God, love others as yourself. Well, John 13, 34, and 35 says, a new commandment I give you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. That's pretty clear. So that is our general calling. We are to love others, love God, love others as we would ourselves. You are all called to do that. Congratulations, you know your calling. You know it. That's it. That's biblical. That's the Bible. I could stop right there. You could all walk out and you now know this is the commandment I am to give. Love, show love to others. And love God. Again, love God and love others as yourself. And then there's this other type of calling, and it's specific calling. Specific calling is one that is unique to everyone, like John the Baptist. And it can be for a period of time. So we always have the one main calling, know that. So we're always to pursue God in our general calling and to seek to be faithful in his presence, but then there's the specific calling. So how do we know that specific calling? Well, we need to get into the Word. We need to find out what has been placed as passions by God in ourselves. We need to find out in our heart, what has God given a burning passion for you? In churches, it's funny because people with passions usually come to me and say, I have this passion for you to go do this. Guess what? No, not going to happen. I'll be very honest with you. Your passions aren't my passions most of the time. And as much as I care about your specific passions, you don't tell me what to do. God tells me what to do. God tells me my passions. I know my passions. I was at a conference one time praying, and this lady came up to me, turned around, she was in front of me, turned around and says, you're going to be a missionary to China. And I said, you're so far off, it's unbelievable. You should go back and ask God again. I said, thanks, but that ain't happening. And she's like, no, I really, truly believe it. I'm like, well, then I don't know what to tell you, but this kid isn't going to be a missionary in China. It's just not going to happen. Not because I dislike China, because God hasn't called me to China. I said, China, I wouldn't be able to handle me. Just like a church called me years ago to come up and pastor in Vanderhoof. Vanderhoof. Have you been to Vanderhoof? Okay, I'm sorry. They need Jesus. But I'm probably not your guy to go to Vanderhoof. If God told me specifically to go to Vanderhoof, I would go to Vanderhoof. I keep saying Vanderhoof a lot. It seems like a word that I keep saying, but I'm telling you, God didn't call me to go to Vanderhoof, and I could say it 30, 40, 50 times, I'm not going to Vanderhoof because God didn't tell me I was. Now, can God bring up things and stir them up inside you to make you go? Yeah, of course. Of course. If God was really laying Vanderhoof on my heart, where would I be going? Hey, nailed it. Other people can't lay God's desire. Now, they can affirm your passion and your desire that God has laid on your heart. They can affirm that, but they don't tell you. God tells you, they affirm. And if they're really in tune with God, then that's a good person to have in your life because they're not telling you. They're showing you that God has already placed that passion. So they're specific. And these unique callings can be specific for a time or for a longer period of time. But it doesn't cancel out your general calling to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. It doesn't cancel that. It's like, oh, sorry, I can't love everyone because I have a specific calling, and it doesn't count in that area. No, it does. Guess what? You still have to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself, and do your specific calling. What? I got two? Three, actually. So, as we look at what the scripture talks about, we need to really understand. It would have been very interesting if John, after he had baptized Jesus, got all upset because Jesus is getting all the attention, right? All the grumbling, he'd be complaining. Why is Jesus taking over all my area, Judea and, you know, the Jordan area? He's more popular than I am. Jesus, why would you do that to me? Well, John had a specific purpose. He knew what he was to do. And when he did it, it was done. He didn't worry about it. And a lot of times in church or even at work, and I see this a lot, we can be so almost jealous that someone else is doing something that we wish or thought we should be doing. And when we spend all that energy and time on that, we actually don't do what we're supposed to do because we're so upset that we're not doing what they're doing. And it happens at work. It's like, well, I should have got that promotion. Well, there's obviously a reason why you didn't. I'm not saying it's bad or good. I'm just saying there's obviously a reason. Oh, I'm not in charge. Maybe next time. But if we look at the focus of why we're here, why don't you, if you've got a boss that you think you should have been in that position, why don't you turn it around and be like, you know what, I'm going to help that person succeed and do better than they could ever do on their own? Why don't we do that? And then that person's going to look at you and be like, why are you like this? Him. See how it comes back when it's not about us? So think about that. Where in your life? 1 Corinthians 12, chapter 12, verses 12 to 27 talks about the body and how it has many parts. And we've used this scripture many times, and we can't all be the eyes, and we can't all be the arms and the hands. We can't all. It needs, the body needs all the other parts working together for a purpose. You may not end up being a preacher. You may not end up being a missionary, but that doesn't mean you are not essential where you are. I'm telling you right now, you are a minister. You are a minister where you are, where you work, where you play, where you live. You are a minister. And when you have that type of mindset, you will go further in God's calling. The church needs all of us together working for a bigger purpose. And so if you notice in a lot of the New Testament characters and stories and disciples, if you notice that Jesus never asked anyone to do something that he wouldn't do himself. And in John's case, well, yeah, his life was ended and Jesus' life was ended in the end as well. But Jesus was willing to go to the cross for you and for me. I want to challenge you today not to be scared to follow God's calling in your life, whether that's just really being that person who's following their general calling and loving God, loving their neighbors, loving everyone, being a light in the community. And also, don't be afraid to follow your passions. I know people that go on short-term mission trips all the time. Why? Because they're called to do what they're doing here, but they also know that God has placed a specific calling on their life to go do missions work, and so they go do that. But that doesn't mean that's you. What's your passion? What burns inside? What do you think about doing for God? What do you think about? And only then will you realize what God is asking you to do if it won't go away. And so don't be afraid to follow God's calling in your life. If he has called you to do it, he's going to provide the way, and he's going to provide the strength for you to do it, no matter what. So to conclude, how do we find God's calling in our lives? First, we dive into his word. We need to understand who God is. We need to understand who we are because of what he has said in these books. In the multiple books that are in here, we need to know, and that's why that song, We're a Child of God, that's a good start. Read it as a God who loves and cares for you, as a parent, find out what he's saying in here about himself and about others and about you. And then we also need to recognize our talents and our passions that God has given us naturally and use those. So if you're good with hospitality, man, do hospitality. Be hospitable to people. Do it in the church. Do it outside the church. Do it everywhere. If you can sing, then sing. If you can't, don't think you can. A lot of people think they can sing and they can't sing. It's unfortunate, but and then who's going to tell them? I don't know. Nobody wants to. If you ever watch American Idol or America's Got Talent or Whoever's Got Talent, all these shows, yeah. Not everybody that thinks they can sing. And that's all right, because they can do other things. That's just not their venue. That's not their thing. But what are you passionate about? Are you passionate about reaching kids for God? Then do stuff in kids' ministry and get involved. Are you passionate about teenagers? Are you passionate about seniors? What are you passionate about? Get involved. Get involved in that stuff and do what God has asked you to do. Serve. Help others. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself, and they'll know you because of your love for each other. Let's pray.